you got a YouTube vlog, and that's great and everything, but I you know, I did the research, I checked it out, and brother, that vlog is the drizzling shits. I don't care if you're giving back to the community, if you're helping little old ladies walk the street, if you're picking up dog shit in your neighbor's yard, it doesn't matter. Listen, you need a better video editor, brother. And you need better talent. As a matter of fact, maybe put a bag over your head and cut that video vlog, because I think you might get some viewers then, and maybe do more for the community by not allowing us to see that ugly melon.
The Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast did not have to pay to be featured in Business Insider. Welcome to episode 27 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. I'm your host, Sock Jig. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram as well at Sock Jig. So as promised, I did want to sprinkle in some more interviews. The Twitter streets were asking for this one, so we worked out a time and had a good conversation. So without any other delay, let's go to our guest. If you're on sneaker Twitter, you're probably already familiar with my guest today, a true OG in not just the sneaker game, but also the aforementioned sneaker Twitter. Welcome to the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast, my guest, LA3. LA3, how's it going?
Oh, no, it's beautiful. It's amazing. I believe the community has been waiting for this conversation, so I hope we're going to have some fun tonight.
the sneaker streets, as I've been talking about, the Twitter streets have been asking for it.
Yes. So we're going to deliver.
What I wanted to start off with is just about Twitter itself. You and I are very similar in a lot of ways. We post our thoughts on sneaker Twitter, and just want to get our thoughts out there. We're not really too concerned about any other things. I know you post about music and sports and all kinds of stuff as well too. And from what I'm guessing over the times that I've, you know, read your tweets and stuff like that you're, from what I can tell, very much like me, more collector based, but also do some resell. And also probably work a 9-to-5, but also have the type of job where you can be on a monitor all day. Is that all correct, or is there any of that inaccurate?
Pretty much a good section of that is pretty accurate. Because I'm like in the field as well, I don't get to always be by like a screen. So those random restocks sometimes kill me, but for the most part, you're pretty much on point.
Excellent. Personally, myself, in the last few months, I've just kind of turned off a lot of notifications. So a lot of times I see your tweets and it's like, oh, did you see Undefeated there? And it's like, I totally have the fear of missing out. I don't know what's going on or what's dropping. So, but I do like seeing that you're still in there. You still have those notifications on. You know, you just missed that drop by leaving your desk for a second or whatever it is. So, I don't know where I'm going there, but like I'm saying, you know how the game is on Twitter, where you're just like on with the notifications all the time. Is that how you feel as well too, where you're kind of always have to be tracking, always have to be watching the monitors, trying to get that next ping?
I had a conversation with someone from FIFA Lads, and we was talking about if you have like unfiltered notifications on, whatever you check out in there, you deserve it, because it literally is a 24, it's like insane. So I've dialed back on what I have notifications for. I'm in a lot of different channels and messages and stuff like that, and so, but I think if you're genuinely still trying to be successful in this game, you, persistent is the most potent power you have, because just getting more raffles in, attacking as much as you can during the drop. So you gotta deal with the minor hell of hearing tick, 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 tick,
That's right.
The entire night.
Yeah.
Instead of waking up and not having success.
You know, sometimes in Discord, I'm probably in just so many groups and they're all buzzing all the time. And so it gets to the point where I just like close it. And I think I finally just had it. And I was like, you know what? Let me just try notifications off for a week or two and see how it goes. You know, I probably kept on the PlayStation ones and stuff like that just so I can hit those, because those were always constantly restocking, you know, last fall and stuff. But for, personally for me, it's been a nice break. But, you know, I do feel the itch sometimes to turn them back all back on. So, you know, I'll probably be back in those Discord streets soon as well, too.
Say goodbye to your good night sleeps.
I used to do that all the time. I used to sit in the unfiltered sometimes and just have it in like a background window.
Yeah.
And see what I could see there. And, you know, sometimes if someone, you know, misworded a keyword or something, you would see something in there. So I've definitely had hits from unfiltered, but never notifications on for the unfiltered channel.
That's still quite insane, but I respect that. I thoroughly respect that. Oh, so, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a prominent topic about this piece right here. That if you have the ability to ATC, are you no longer still going for it manually, per se?
So do you mean like just the quick link that adds to cart and you're manual the rest of the way, or are you
pretty talking much about
the bot? Yes. Where you can kind of send to your bot as well too?
There is this, but not in regards, or not saying like how quick tasks work, but
yeah,
there was an argument some time ago, if you have the ability to bypass the front page ATC, but then have to manual it the rest of the way, is that still a manual purchase?
Oh, that's 100% a manual for in terms of how I think, because it's you still have to click the page, you still have to have autofill on, you still have to go to step two and step three and hit the place order button. But even that, there's, you know, it's kind of gone back to the old school days of Chrome plugins that kind of auto do that for you too now.
Yeah, though, I remember some time ago there was like a plugin that like started getting popularity, and basically it would initially load up like you and then just go through all the motions and like auto and like almost an auto task, but it was still manually. It was very interesting.
Yeah, I saw that Soul Retriever just added that functionality too.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I believe it's for his pro users.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm assuming it's from the app only, but I think that other place that I don't talk about does the same kind of thing, but yeah, who cares about them?
Right.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was... you know, some of the times on your Twitter and stuff, you hint at things that you know, or early info that you might have, and sometimes you're not always direct about it, which I'm assuming is because you can't always just flat out say, you know, this is what I heard. And so what I was gonna ask is, when you hear something like that, how do you decide on how much you can share, what you can share? And, you know, how much of that does come through to Twitter? Because both you and I have heard things and not always tweeted things. So I was wondering about, from your end, how you think about that kind of stuff and post it.
So in regards to, so let's say, actually, it has gotten really dependent on what is now the current hot. So perfect example. I knew when those patent ones was going to restock, like I knew a week in advance. That shoe has been pretty unicorn for like a manual user. So if you catch the in between the lines, saying a phrase, but the phrase really directing to something else, you could catch, you'll just catch on. And there's a lot of people that hit Shoe Pals. There's a lot of people that hit the restock, and they're like, yo, LA was saying that first. So, but there's other times if it's a shoe way, way out. Like, we knew me, a few other individuals. I don't know if I can say their names, so that's why I just call myself real quick. But
Z Sneakerheads and Mr. Unloved Ones. Well, you know, yeah. Those are the usual suspects that will post kind of SKUs and coming soon. And, you know, they put themselves out there and get, like, you know, targeted for that kind of stuff as well, too, with hate and things like that, too, when you do that. So that was the other thing. It's like when you get into this kind of sneaker leaker persona, you do have to take this kind of stuff on the chin sometimes if you get something wrong, for example.
Oh yeah. But you know what sucks? People are very, very, very precise when it comes to the attacking and saying, oh, you didn't so-and-so, it didn't work out. But if you've called it two or three times in a row correctly, you'll get, oh, of course, you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, you forget about all the right ones, and it's all, what have you done for me lately, right?
It's very wild. But yeah, actually, I would have the same question for you. What's your guidance in regards to what comes out the drafts and then what actually gets published?
You know, these days I do very little. Most of the stuff I hear, I don't post. And some of the stuff, like, I might just drop in a podcast here and there, like, I hear Fire Thread 3s might drop, for example. But, you know, that was already in our kind of DMs and stuff. That's probably been already talked about for 3-4 weeks, but I hadn't seen it on Twitter. And I might see it on a podcast because it'll just kind of come and go here and there. But overall, there's been times where I may have hinted at things and things like that. But I don't really dabble in it too much. So, because I just don't care to get that type of clout. But that's my personal decision on that. And I'm just like, forget it. I don't want to deal with it. You know, this one time I did with this Drake Air Force One where I totally credited the podcast I heard it on that it's going to be most likely canceled. And I posted it out there because I was talking already on Twitter about the Drake Hot Step shoe. And then, you know, then it got picked up and pushed around, and then it posted on Instagram. And then once it goes from there, I can't control what happened there. You know, I'm just talking on Twitter. And so, and then the other, you know, then Brendan Dunn posted that, oh, it actually is going to come out, even though he had said basically the same kind of thing on his own podcast. So stuff like that, that was one example where it was like, you know what, I don't need to do this all the time. And even that wasn't just me putting some unfounded rumor out there. It was just me talking on Twitter related to something else I was already talking about. So that was one of those reasons why, you know, I don't want to get it out there that I'm just putting out unfounded rumors. I think both you and I have a good kind of track record on this kind of stuff, and people do trust us on what we put out there. I probably don't do the straight up hints and things like that as much as you do, but I always enjoy when you do, because most of the time I do know what you're talking about.
That's usually the best part of it. Like, real ones just know.
Yeah, yeah. So that leads me to, you know, one of the things that was hot on Twitter earlier in the week was you had a tweet out about the Wave Runners. And I know, I want to set up the tweet here a bit, but I know, you know, Twitter doesn't give you the kind of forum to put it in, you know, whatever it is, 240 characters now only. So the tweet was quote tweeting the, I think it was Soul Retriever, saying about how Wave Runners are restocking. You said, Adidas is the dumbest company I've ever seen. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here. What is the point of a limited shoe that restocks every 6 months? And then the next part was, keep lying to yourself that you love this, because why would I want a shoe that is no longer special? And, you know, kind of similar to what we were talking about earlier. When I saw this tweet, I knew exactly what you were saying. But I think from the response that you got, that the people were hung up on how you worded it, maybe the word special, What were your, you know, I've said what your tweet was, but what are your kind of more full, longer thoughts on this topic?
So I think Twitter is such an amazing background that can allow you to get ideas out that you truly believe in. And but the issue is, and I think you said it, that you just can't get every full-fledged piece of context out at the same time. So for me, the most important thing is that I have a consensus with my followers, because my followers, to me, I feel like I have the most amazing followers. And I grab what they're saying and what I'm saying, and I'm trying to be forthcoming when I say, if this drops again and then this drops again, that demand comes down, that I got it this particular time, then I got it that time. And then if everybody can say it's that time, then that's normal and it's not special. And it's important for us to have items that we can chase. It's important that we have items that still garner like worldwide appeal and recognition.
You know, the Chicago one is the example that everyone will use as that, right?
Absolutely. Chicago one, I think that's a GRGR. I'm trying to think of Marjard. So there's these very special pieces that people attain, and it was so limited and it was so precious. Now that story does command a significant value, but the reality is it's special because it was for that time. It was special for that time, but we can have something else that's special for its time, and you don't always have to stay in the past to stay somewhat like it's afloat in the present. So that's what I was really getting at, where it was like, I want us to keep showing our ability and our strength and unifying our thoughts and our buying purchases, and you know, just showing that we can all be, I don't want to say, we can all be just together in the mission to show that we can make another that shoe. We can make another issue. We just have that power. That's what I was really saying that, but
yeah.
It's just so hard to capture all that.
Yeah. No, you know, I think the Wave Runner is the best Yeezy. So there's lots of boots that I really like, but in terms of a runner, I think it's the best one. And from what I saw in your tweet, you were basically saying the same thing, that this is an amazing shoe. It should be treated as such. It should be treated as special. And I know with semantics and wording, and people get hung up on certain things, and it was just like, oh, you only want it because it's special. You don't want it because it's a GR. And then, you know, the people who say bread ones should be sitting on the Foot Locker wall, those people seem to have gotten a hold of this tweet and were, you know, kind of coming after you. But, I understood what you were getting at, right? You can't ever appease the people who say bread ones should be sitting on Foot Locker walls, because those people do not understand how the game works.
Not at all.
And so, yeah, so when I saw this, I was like, you were basically giving the Nike formula to Adidas. Nike understands this formula to a T. They've perfected this formula. They know they can't give you the Chicago ones every every year, or have it on the Foot Locker walls at all times. And I know they do mm-hmm. different versions. They, you know, they bring out the Spider-Man one, and that's what they do kind of in between the 6 year cycle or whatever they have. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I was thinking about this tweet, I was like, Adidas just doesn't think it like that. They don't want it something to be special. They're in second place, you know, wherever a Yeezy fits in with that. But that was that Matt Powell tweet that they're in second place now. And yes. Second place doesn't have the luxury of taking Nike's formula. They have to kind of, I guess, you know, restock every year, I guess, is how I understood it.
Yes, I concur. That's what it feels like they're going for. But if you see one formula that works, and they've used it in the past, I would just prompt them to be like, hey, go back to what was working. Simply.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they're going to keep abusing this formula. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back the human races, the yellow ones, the black ones, the ultra limited ones, because that's just what they've done, and that's what they've shown. And so I wouldn't be shocked if those drop this year as well.
It's wild times.
Wild times.
This is wild times.
Yeah. And that brings me to kind of Nike as well. You know, I was thinking about how Nike's been approaching this year, and how I was wondering, like, what is Nike going to do going forward? Especially, you know, rest in peace Virgil Abloh, the loss of Virgil, and even Travis kind of being sidelined here. You know, there's all these rumors that maybe he might be dropped and things like that always pop up here and there. What are your thoughts on where you think Nike will take the, you know, their direction this year in terms, you know, and we're just speaking in our sneaker head terms, in terms of hype sneakers and nice stuff, you know, the overall picture of their, you know, their quarterly earnings and stuff I don't really care too much about. So in terms of collabs and direction, what do you think about Nike's upcoming year?
I believe in it. It's going to be clear that collaborations are still going to be the key thing for them. I foresee them doing some more triple collabs.
Hoping we'd be done with those.
Yeah, I think you're gonna have to get one or two. I mean, we technically got one early with NBA, Louis Vuitton, Nike. I mean, but those feel kind of more like unicorn impossible. They're gonna pump a whole bunch of dunks out, because now they can do a constant restock of pandas, and then fill in those other ones, and then put a nature dunk, then put a disrupt. They got a nice little conveyor belt over there for those dunks. Just conveyor belt of money coming in for that.
Oh, they can restock that panda dunk over and over again. And you know, one of the things I'd heard was it would take the heat off the Air Force One. In terms of, you know, not getting, you know, how in terms of the It shoe, there was a Fila Disruptor, and, you know, there was Adidas Superstars years ago, and then now it's like Air Force One, and it's kind of stuck there. And so, you know, I think the idea was let's pump out dunks a lot, and kind of if Air Force One goes out of style, then at least we have the dunk, but then we can, hey, maybe we can get both of them in style. And you do kind of still see panda dunks everywhere. When I go out, I see them a lot. And, you know, of course, you see cooked Air Force Ones everywhere as well, still, too.
Yeah, I don't trust those people that got those Air Force Ones that look like they went through two armies. Like, I can't trust those people.
You know, I still see them, and I always actually enjoy seeing them, because they're really well worn, and maybe it's a West Coast thing. I know New York has their own specific rules, but I do enjoy seeing a very cooked Air Force Ones. I don't know why. So I'm on the other side of that one.
No, you like playing like freeze tag with Satan.
In terms of collabs, like one of the things with collabs that I was thinking about is, you know, a collab's supposed to be something where it comes in and it changes the company. It's something that the normally like Nike or Adidas, whoever, wouldn't do. But when someone comes in, they kind of disrupt a bit. You know, Tom Sachs is, and the Moores Yard that we mentioned before is a perfect example of that. Jerry Lorenzo, when he was there, was a really good example of that. I think James Whitner right now is doing a lot of that good stuff, kind of with the storytelling as well, too. But they let Jerry walk because I guess they were like, you know, I was trying to think of why would they let Jerry walk. And all I could come up was because of Off-White. And what I was thinking was they couldn't give Jerry this huge platform if Off-White was the real number one performer. And now, you know, sadly, Off-White is gone and Jerry's at Adidas. So that's why I was wondering, are they in this space where they gotta fill this gap with the new collaborators and new, you know, talent in there? But who else is there? You know, you can't just bring in someone like Playboi Carti and just have and be expected to replace Travis with that. So that's what I was thinking about. I just don't know which direction Nike's gonna go this year.
Oh no, that's like on the money. I believe Travis. They were speculating that he would get his shoe would get reactivated this month, but I didn't hear. Couldn't. So that didn't even seem like plausible to me. That one. But at some point, they for sure are gonna put him back on the roster, and allow him to have some sort of rollout that. Sadly, it didn't get what it was supposed to get due to the unfortunate circumstances. And But hopefully he gets a chance to do his passion of creating very unique looking shoes and twisting traditional silhouettes. It's been very fascinating.
Yeah, no, I definitely think he'll come back as well too. I early on in the year I thought, well, they're probably gonna drop him, but you know, I was thinking America loves a redemption story. America, if you apologize, America will kind of back you up with that. So once they're in a position where I think he can do that, you know, it might be too close, and now's probably not the great time. I think once he does, you know, I think pretty sure sneakerheads will receive him back, but it'll be interesting to see if he shows up at Coachella and his response and things like that. And I think they'll probably take it from there.
Did Coachella allow him to actually perform? Because I remember there was the petition.
Oh, right.
I don't even know what where's my phone? I want to Google this.
Well, I saw the Kanye thing today where he was demanding Billie Eilish apologize because he saw something on Rap Alert or something like that. And I was just like, that's this is where Kanye is now.
Yeah. It's a fascinating turn of events, because you sit there and you're like, he has Black Future Month and he has like a whole dialogue that sounds very profound and it sounds very moving. And then you'll get him also saying rumors that somebody possibly has an STD. It's just so extreme and taxing to have someone that driven with a roller coaster of emotions like that. Swell.
I just like hearing from him. You know, there's a long time where you didn't hear anything on Twitter or anything, and it was just kind of unknown. Here or there you would hear something, but now you get the good and you get the bad, I guess.
You gotta get both.
Yep. Yeah, one of the another thing I wanted to ask was, have you gone? I know in the past, have you been to like these sneaker cons and events like that? I don't think they've had one in New York City in a while. And do you go to these type of sneaker events, and or have they kind of, you know, they're in the past now? It's not really something for you.
So, from the footage I would see from YouTube videos and other content creators, I already knew that it wasn't really for me, because the focus was the purchase, the selling, the purchase, the selling, the haggle. So it wasn't like a swamp meet, but that's not really like a place I want to go for, like, the push for the conversation, for these sneakers, the stories, the moments that were created. Like, that's not really happening. Even though, like, a 2J Kicks or, like, Private Selection, they'll, like, clean out, like, a whole vendor's inventory. Like, that was their moment. That was, like, a right. moment, but it's not really... It's not giving me that I need. So, personally, can't speak for anybody else on that.
Yeah, no, there was you know, in 2017 or so, there was the YouTubers were there, and then there was these big pits and stuff, and then there's that one out in California that was probably the biggest one, with, you know, the Nicki Diamonds dunks and all that kind of drops and stuff like that. But it seems like they've kind of gone away from that as well too. It seemed almost like Nike was, you know, pushing more into Travis's Astroworld, and even that, I guess, is, you know, the end of that as well too,
sadly, because I can't remember if that was the initial Astroworld or the second Astroworld when it did the Air Force One drop, but that was like a good drop for a lot of people. A lot of people were able to secure those sneakers, so that's always a really good drop.
All right, so one of the other things I wanted to ask about was, I think you might have, you were tweeting about this as well, is the kind of the current state of resell and how it, you know, appears, I'll be careful with my semantics here in case I get attacked. There's signs that it's going down.
You're talking to me, so you're gonna probably get attacked by the most randoms of anything. It's very wild.
So it appears that it's been, you know, going down, or maybe it just means that the Mickey Mouse resellers are getting out. I replied to someone that, you know, if you have a bot and you can get as many 350s as you want, and you have a connection with a consignment shop, you are probably still making good money and selling those at consignment prices compared to, you know, probably losing money on StockX or whatever. So what are your thoughts on not only just like the bots kind of shutting down, but also how that's going to affect, you know, the manual person getting the sneakers lately?
So I think about 2-3 years ago we started seeing the hard shift that a majority of very high in hype, high in publication shoes just not do well. And it was great that for the more advanced third-party manipulators, they could do NFTs. I believe they were really just getting lifted off crypto. You could do a lot of other venues. So they already started doing, like, I just remember when Top Shot was like the first one that like the whole timeline was getting into it, and it was like, all right, like this is where the future's going. So the more you could sell something, with A, not have to take in a whole bunch of overhead storage, then selling it. All you gotta do is just click one button and click another button, get some fees, and then you sell and you make more. That Sneaker Twitter shows that it's ready to evolve at times, or there's certain players in there that's ready to evolve, and they just split up their avenues. But majority of Sneaker Twitter is just the casual person that wants to be slightly more informed than the person that goes to the Foot Locker and then has to ask them what's the difference between an Air Force One and an Air Jordan One. So it's necessary.
Have you jumped onto this NFT stuff?
I literally attempted for the first time when StockX was basically putting a property or an item physically attached to the sale of the NFT.
Right.
I just thought that was like, oh, you know what? My being a old school guy, like used to needing to touch something physically so it could feel like you have like proper ownership. So it was always like really hard for my head to be like, if I like own it, but I don't actually can control it. I can't really like print it. I can't, it's like, do I really own it? And then somebody else could just screenshot it. So it's just, but the more I read into it, I get it. Like, you have a, it's just like on any other collaboration. There's a speculation that was created. You see an item that has some type of limitation, then it might have a mutation or it has a really low number or it, whatever the case might be. Then you have that get speculated more. And then hopefully those people made some money and then sell, and they go buy some other stuff. Nah, I saw some ones that were getting like really popular in our circles, like Ray Party,
which is, you know, but, created by a bunch of Sneaker Twitter developers and other people,
which is amazing.
Yeah,
which is so beautiful that that evolution of Sneaker Twitter has done that. Like, it's just the cool, those are the coolest, most like inspiring stories that we're not just people that wear tennis shoes. We're people that create, we're people that design, we're people that empower, we're people that grow, we're people that break the market. Is we're everything. And it's just, I don't know, it's just beautiful.
I remember I had a tweet the other day about how I had Dash. I always say Dash, but I think it's Dashy. The bot back in 2017, which is the golden age of the bot, that bot especially, and botting. And I have zero checkouts because it was just not something for me. It's not the technical chops. I have the technical chops. It's just more the time. And in Canada, there's all this like billing and shipping is different and all whatever kind of stuff. So it was just not something I wanted to dive all my time into. But I remember buying it at the time, which was kind of, you know, easy to do back then. If you were on Twitter and you saw the restock link. But I remember thinking, I'm supporting a fellow developer. I don't mind paying the whatever the $200 I is, so it'll go to his development. But that was early on, and you know, he kind of built an empire now, and it just recently it kind of shut down as well too.
Yeah, now Hunter, I didn't know him personally, but I had a lot of friends of friends, and they've said nothing but amazing things for him. So it's fascinating that with the resources and the liquidity that they had, It's still just tough. It's a very hard thing to maintain a quality and a standard that you feel like people deserve. And Dash evolved quite a few times, because it really started out as like primarily a Shopify, and then basically became AIO. So
phenomenal. Yeah, you know, especially when it changed to the subscription model, and you know, had Yeezy Supply, I guess, was the biggest add-on that it had.
Yeah.
You had a tweet related to this saying that, you know, bots leaving doesn't mean it's going to necessarily become easier to buy. And, you know, I understand what you're saying, because the real reason why people don't get sneakers is because of how much Nike produces and then how many the retailer gets. But then the other thing I've always mentioned is how much the retailer actually cares as well, too. Because if they put the time and effort into a drop, like, you know, at most Collectors Club does, or do they just, you know, like Kith does recently, restock all their heat at on Thursdays at a set time. So if they care a lot, then you might have a chance. If they don't, your chances are still pretty low. That's how I understood it, but I wanted to hear your kind of full side on what you think.
Nah, that honestly, I don't even think I have anything to add on that. I'll be honest with you. I agree. It's manipulation of scarcity, because they'll make everything appear like it's the most limited, impossible thing to get. Nike is the best marketer on earth. Like, not even a question.
Yeah, and you've seen both ALD and Kith, and you know, Premier to a certain extent, but maybe less so recently, do this with their loyalty and VIP programs, and those became good ways of getting it. But especially with this pandemic, and with those salmon toes, Kith Asics that you saw, it can be on or off for a variety of reasons, right? It's stuck on a ship, or the stock was just low, and everyone has just got their hand out and saying, you know, I wish I could get this, and I wish bread ones were sitting at Foot Locker.
Yeah, no, it's wild.
Yeah.
Because also to counter that argument, when somebody says, I'll buy something that I want sitting, I was like, so there was a whole bunch of like, I think there was Altitude 13s, I think that's what they're called, sitting, right? So that was a Jordan that was sitting, but nobody wanted it. So it's like, you're saying these things like, oh, I wish said item that was limited that I missed out on, like I want it to be accessible. Cool, we get that. But realistically, that's not what drew you in. That's not what compelled you, that you had to find a way to purchase this. So the chase is the most beautiful thing, honestly. Yeah.
I always tell people, like, if you want a sneaker, if you don't like the game, you can always just sit out. It's like, you can, like we talked at the top, you enter all these raffles, and at the end of the year, maybe you hit 7 of them, for example.
Right.
That's almost one a month or so. You know, it's getting there in terms of how many you can get. I know I can't get every Jordan 1. Even with, you know, someone, I could make a phone call, or I send a text message, is probably more accurate, and ask. But most of the time, I do not, especially for Jordan 1s. That's probably the hardest shoe for me to get.
I hear that.
One of the things, going back to the NFTs and as well to the botting thing, I was like, one of the things I've been thinking about is like, I just don't have the time that it takes to invest in something new to dive in. If I was probably 21, I would probably be all in on NFTs. I get the digital ownership and all that kind of stuff. I totally understand the value in it. Maybe not the utility for now, but And it's not cheap either. If these pictures were $100, $50, and like the StockX one, it's, say it's, you get the sneaker in the vault and it's $50 over the market price, I'd be like, sure, seems like a good idea. Because it's kind of like GOAT storage, but I can kind of hand that ticket off to anyone else, right?
Right.
But some of these monkey pictures of whatever, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there's rug pulls and there's gas and stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't have the time to sit here on this Discord and learn all this day in, day out. But with sneakers, I've had a lifetime of just being in the game and knowing stuff. And so that is just kind of inherent there. And so, you know, I understand that NFTs are new and it's all changing and all that stuff, but that's my stance on it. I approve of the concept. I just don't have the time to kind of, one, jump in and then also lose all my money on, you know, some fucking batshit monkey picture.
Yeah, no, that I in my early apprehension to it, it was that how I don't see an end game. Like, let's say if I start losing and losing and losing, like, it's still a worthless picture. Like, it was a worthless picture the entire time, but now it's, like, actually a worthless picture. So I'll just be like, how do I get rid of this? And it's like, I take a full-blown loss. Nah, I was so like, this can't be something I could participate with, because I work so hard for the money and the knowledge that I had. So it was just like, but I've come around. And I wish the StockX one the best chance with their that lawsuit that Nike got against them right now, because it's just that they made it feel like, the first time I felt comfortable that, like you said, it wasn't like 10K floor. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not paying 10K. for like a screenshot. Like, my brain can't comprehend that. So let me wet my feet with like a $100 picture, a $200 picture of some, I don't know, like balloon getting electrocuted, whatever these things are.
Yeah, and that's where I think Top Shot had that. It was, you know, it was a pain with their qubit and system and stuff, but you could, you know, buy Top Shot with a credit card, and it was, and you had the thing. I remember my first Top Shot, I got a white guy doing a three-pointer, and I was like, oh man, this can't be worth anything. So that was probably my last Top Shot purchase.
Top Shot was fun. I remember I saw the timeline talking about it. I said, let me download, let me see what this is about, load it up. I said, oh, I like this. I like this. I like this. I made a few dollars off of it, and then I think I still technically have it, but I haven't even had the mere thought of opening it up.
Yeah, I don't even know what the current value is now, but let's just assume it's down from what those heights were back then. Sure. And it's similar to this sneaker downturn I've seen. It's like, if the money is out, then a lot of people are out. And you saw the same thing in like baseball cards and that kind of stuff, where it goes up and then it kind of goes down a bit and then the people are out. For me with sneakers, it's like, it can go down, but I'm not going out, because one, I've had a lifetime of this, and give me GR sneakers and I'll be totally fine. That's the difference for me, right? It's like, if these monkey pictures were worth $50, it wouldn't be, my timeline wouldn't be covered with monkey pictures anymore.
I mean, right now your timeline would still be covered with monkey pictures.
Okay, one of the other things I wanted to talk about is or ask you, and we kind of mentioned it briefly before, is but about kind of the hate that you do get on Twitter and how you handle that. There may be, from what I could tell, people that don't like you that may have blocked you. You know, that just comes from sharing your opinion and people not liking your opinion. How do you manage that field? Do you ignore it? Does it affect you? I was interested in your thoughts on that.
I'm so appreciative that currently, like, I'm in a amazing space, like mental space. So, like, I want to say like 97-98%, it just rolls off my back. And I keep pushing, and I give out positivity, and a lot of amazing things keeps happening. But that 1-2%, man.
Fuck those guys, right?
Yo, the 1-2% get the retweet, the tag, the hi, how was your day? Like, yo, you good over there? It's kind of quiet. It get the whole shebang, but. Again, for the most part, I remove that energy to just recoil back to every piece of criticism. And some criticism is for sure valid. I've had times where I've misquoted something, not like it's like a date move, something like that, but just some background of the item or whose blanks the item's on or whatever the case might be. So I feel like I'm so proud of my followers because they can constructively give criticism and nobody, for the most part, is malevolently trying to like take you down. So there's nothing wrong with having discourse, and but still,
when I see your tweets, I can always tell they're coming from the heart, and it's authentic. And I think that having that voice out there, you, of course, no one's gonna have 100% being right 100% of the time. So it's like, and then sometimes if I see something that I disagree with, or maybe I would have worded differently if it was me, I've come to the point where I appreciate seeing that kind of stuff, because it's like, I will do that. I would be like, oh, if I had said that, I would have said it this way. And so it's like, it really did add value to me. But that's just like how I think about it. And other people are on there, it's like, oh, I got to fucking dunk on this guy now. And it's just like, what's the point? Like, what are you doing here? And sometimes it's like not even someone who follows you or is going out of the way to be a dick. And yeah, like you said, those 1-2% are just like, you know, get the hell out of here, basically, is what I always think.
Wow.
All right. I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show. Well, I think we'll do this again, if you don't mind. Thank you. I know it's pretty late for you as well, too. Like I said, I really do appreciate your Twitter, what you put out there. And, you know, one of the things is I appreciate the volume of tweets, because I sometimes I don't. And I know there might be people who like less tweets, but really I do like the volume of it, the stream of it. There's days where I was busy at work, and I will go to your timeline and catch up on what happened, right? Like, so you are most of the time are my catch up of the day when I had a busy few hours or so. So I wanted to say that. And I, you know, after Burger Kicks died, I've been thinking about this a lot too. And I've reached out to people in DMs, and I say this to them, and I'm like, I appreciate you. I like that you put what you put out there. And so, yeah. I don't stop from saying that, taking the time to say that to you as well here.
I appreciate that. And it's the same to you. I tell people, can just continue to sell positivity 24/7. Just sell positivity 24/7. So,
It's
the best thing you could do.
And if you got something that you don't like, it's it's your problem. You're the one who's fucked in the head, not us over here.
Absolutely. And shout out to also Sneaker Twitter getting together to take care of the bowling ball, the last request Burger had.
So, yeah, that was awesome.
I can't be more proud of our community, the things we do. And some of us have never met each other, but there's like real love out there. Like, and for sure, at some point, we're gonna have to do this again. Yeah, it's a little late for me, but we for sure gotta do this. And we'll probably reconvene after like a, I don't know if it's like a super terrible failure of a drop, like a trophy room one drop, or it's a very successful drop, and then we try to figure that out. And then maybe then we circle back to what we talked about today, where with less bots now over a certain period of time, have many users have more success.
Yeah,
it's gonna be real fascinating. But yeah, we for sure need to do this again.
No, definitely. And like when you were talking about Nike and their collabs and stuff too, I really think some sort of shift is gonna happen this year. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's NFTs is a thing. If they're gonna, you know, drop something that gives you access, and we're gonna be sitting on the outside with the fear of missing out on that kind of stuff, but. I feel like there is, because there has been this lot of the sameness in this last 2 years because of COVID, that there's going to be some sort of shift. But if that happens, we'll be back here to break it down and get your thoughts and get the update on it.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. Once again, I'd like to thank LA3 for having the conversation and meeting up with me at a very late time for the East Coast. And me being on the West Coast. You can follow him at LA3Life on Twitter. And as I mentioned, I will be doing some more of these interviews. And, you know, I will probably get better over time. I just need to get some reps in. So I appreciate you listening. Thanks for tuning in. This has been episode 27 of the Sock Jake Sneaker Podcast. And go fuck yourself.